Tonight we're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and the Lord willing, next Wednesday night we'll begin a lengthy study in the book of Jeremiah, so we'll go through that book. But tonight, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Paul writing to his protege. Paul is the mentor of Timothy. This would be his last epistle before he would go home to be with the Lord Jesus. And he writes, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 2, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for the masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. And the husbandman," that's a farmer, "that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of His Word. Let's pause just for a moment. Our Father, we ask tonight that as we look into Your Word, that God, You would, by the power of the Holy Spirit and His presence in our lives, those of us who know Jesus as Savior and Lord, that He would illuminate our hearts and minds. And I pray tonight, Lord, that as we look into Your Word at these truths, that it would pierce through all of our prejudices, all of our excuses. Father, that it would pierce through everything that we try to say by way of simply saying, Lord, we just don't want to do it. We don't want to be obedient. We don't want to trust. We don't want to walk. So Lord, I pray tonight, God, would be a time of spiritual reckoning for all of us. That God, we come to that place where, Father, it's not that You overwhelm us with so much to do and so much to be, but God, it's simply the fact that You have given us everything we need to do what You've asked us to do. So we have the power. Now we have to be honest and answer the question, do I want to? Do I want to? Lord, teach us tonight from Your Word. Spirit of God, be the great reminder when these moments are over. And we'll be careful to praise You, Lord Jesus, for Your goodness and Your grace and Your patience with us. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. During the Boxer Rebellion, this was back in 1899, to right at the turn of the century, 1900, extreme nationalist Chinese fomented a campaign of terror against officials of foreign governments, Christian missionaries, and even Chinese Christians. The story goes that they surrounded a certain mission station. Listen to this now. And they sealed off all the exits except one. And out in the front of that exit, they placed a cross in the dirt. And they told the missionaries and the students that anyone who walked out and trampled the cross would be spared. There were over 100 students and teachers left in this little mission. According to reports, the first 7 students who departed trampled the cross and were sent on their way. The 8th student was a young girl. She approached the cross. She knelt down, prayed for strength, and carefully walked around the cross and was immediately shot to death. The remaining 92 students, strengthened by that girl's courageous example, also walked around the cross to their own deaths. John MacArthur shared this. No matter how gifted a person may be, listen carefully, no matter how well trained, no matter how biblically literate, astute, articulate, no matter how much opportunity or privilege a person may have, if they lack spiritual courage and commitment, they will not speak and act effectively for the Lord. You can have all the gifts. You can have wisdom. You can be able to have a great memory. You can be able to even express truths. But if you lack courage, you lose your effectiveness for the Lord. Timothy was facing a time of spiritual vacillation and weakness. That's why Paul is writing not only the first letter, but the second letter. Timothy may have been questioning his calling or his gifts or the sufficiency of God's provision. Look in chapter 1, verse 6. Paul writes, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." Verse 8. "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoners, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." Timothy may have been and needed a strong word of encouragement. And Paul, answering Timothy's fear, he would challenge him gladly. Now remember, as Paul is writing this letter, where's Paul? Paul's in prison. Now Paul is not simply just a novice. He is someone who's been there, someone who's literally been in the fire. And if anyone could say, "Timothy, listen, you need to spiritually man up. Timothy, you can do this, not in your flesh, but remember the gift," verse 6. "Remember that never be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner." Timothy, you have no reason whatsoever to hold your head down. You need to be strong. And Timothy, all of this is in you, Timothy. Please be reminded of that. Timothy, like us, did not need more from God, but he needed to use, and here's the key, he needed to use with commitment and confidence the divine provisions he already possessed. Commitment and confidence. Commitment is that you're going to be determined, that you're going to trust God, and the confidence is that God will not let you down, God will not fail you. Now, here's how that works. You'll never know it until you do it. You'll never know it until you actually step up to the plate, as using a baseball analogy, until you see the fastball coming. You'll never know until you get up there. But folks, listen. Sitting on the comfortable couch and just thinking about it and praying about it and studying about it, that's not what Paul is talking about here to Timothy. He's literally telling Timothy, don't be afraid of the fight. And then he's really going to challenge him. He says, I want you to get in the game, Timothy. That's what you need to do. Paul was not ashamed, but he was persuaded. Look in verse 12 of chapter 1, 2 Timothy. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. I'm not embarrassed. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. What was Timothy afraid of? Timothy may have been fearful of dying. He may have been fearful of being persecuted. He may have been fearful of things. And it gets to the place that over, I think it's in 1 Timothy, he has a stomach ailment, and Paul tells him, now, listen, Baptist, don't go crazy with it. I've been feeling a little puny. Like, no. He told him, take a little wine because that would help his stomach calm down. He probably had ulcers. Now, tonight everybody's going to have ulcers and everybody's going to run down. No. That's not what he's saying here. It's medicinal. It's medicinal. But Timothy needed to hold fast to the faith and love which was in Christ Jesus. Look in verse 13 of chapter 1. Hold fast the form of sound words. In other words, grasp these things. Hold on to them which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Which thou hast heard of me. Paul's going to remind him. He says, you've seen these things in my life. You know that they work, Timothy. Then he's going to say to him in verses 15 to 16, you need to stay away from faithless church members such as Phygellus, verse 15, and Hermogenes. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. And the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. He says, there's some faithless church members, Timothy. Don't let them discourage you. Don't let them pull you down. You need to stay by those who will encourage you. You need to stay by those who are faithful by their lives and how they walk. But the effectiveness of Timothy's ministry depended not simply in his having the call and even the resources, but in his faithfully using them in God's power and to God's glory. Again, folks, we've got everything. You and I have everything we need to live the faithful Christian life. The faithful Christian life. A couple of things I want to share, and many of you know these. First of all, there's four elements. First of all, in chapter 2, he speaks of, in verse 2, a teacher. Verse 1, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." That's the key. It's all by grace. Everything that you and I do, everything that we attempt to do, if we're not responding and if we're not allowing the grace of God to flow through us, then it's nothing but pure flesh. And then how you know? Well, to know it's flesh is because you want credit, you want to be recognized, you want to be noticed, you want the whatever, the accolades, whatever. But if we're doing it by grace, and it says here, be strong in the grace, because Paul knew. Paul says, look, you've got two guys up here, Phygellus and Hermogenes. They don't like you. They probably think you're not qualified. But don't forget, there's an Onesiphorus around, so hang out with him. Don't forget what your mother, look back over if you would, in verse 5. "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that in thee also." He says, Timothy, don't be discouraged. You've got all this encouragement. Listen, you come from good spiritual stock. God has called you. I have had the pleasure of mentoring you. Be strong in the grace of God. And folks, it all boils down to this one thing. If we don't respond to the grace of God and we don't allow the grace of God, and it's going to show up in different ways, to flow through our lives, then we're going to be discouraged. We're going to get ulcers. The littlest thing will just literally blow us away. Paul says, first of all, verse 2, "The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses." What's implied here? Paul says, I'm consistent. I always say the same thing. They're the same doctrines. They're the same truths from God's word. He says, "The things that you've heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." You know what he's telling him to do? He says, you need to go and continue to do what God has called you to do. You don't have to worry about trying to debate those who want to argue with you about the T's and the I's that need to be crossed and dotted. You need to go with the people who are faithful. That's where you need to make the investment of your life, Timothy. And Paul knows that. Goodness sakes, he's had people turn on him, turn him in. Paul has been down the road. He's seen it all. But he's telling him carefully. He says, the teacher is a link in the living chain of truth. The glory of teaching that it links the present with the earthly life of Jesus Christ. You take the baton of truth and you hand it to those who are faithfully going to pass it on. I can remember back when I first got in the ministry at the age of 30, and I would think as I said, well, you know, you got to be patient, you got to be kind, and you got to be generous, and I'm telling you, I would get so frustrated with some men. I got into this thing, I was mentoring guys one-on-one, and some of them they took off like the space shuttle, just incredible. Some of them, it's like they were the interest, and they're almost annoyed the fact that they had to meet with me on Monday mornings at 6 o'clock. Well, I don't think it was a bad thing. I had to get up too. But some of them just grasped it and ran with it. And some of them said, well, I don't know. And if you want to see a product of that, it wasn't me. It was the Lord Jesus. Brian Jones used to meet with me after he was saved on Monday mornings at 6 o'clock. He worked for the city. He was a high-pressure water guy. And he would come by the church and he'd be sitting out there waiting on me. I said, Brian, you're making me look bad, son. You got to slow down a little bit. Hungry, wanted to know, understood. Took him through Paul, Timothy, and he just exploded. Next thing I know, he's going into the ministry. Then 30 years later, we're on the same staff together. But that's God's goodness. But see what he's saying here. Timothy, be careful. Use wisdom. Understand and look for faithfulness. Timothy is to carry the baton and pass it along. That which he was to carefully guard, he was also to carefully give away. Why is it different now, 30 years later? You want me to be real blunt? I don't have time to fool around with someone who wants to fool around. That sounds hard. But if you're not serious, gentlemen, then you're wasting God's time. I'm just a messenger. But there's got to be a seriousness about the things of God. And if you're not going to get plugged in and you think it's just some kind of a Bible study that doesn't mean anything, then you know what? I'll be real honest with you. I'm looking for the guy who says, I'm ready and I want to learn, and I'm not going to do it perfectly, but I want to learn, and I got a million questions. I give that guy all the time he needs, and I will gladly spend and give everything I can to help him, encourage him. Folks, it's too serious anymore to just play and pretend. And we've got to get serious about the things of God. That's what Paul is telling Timothy here. Timothy, be careful. What kind of men? Such men who've already proved their love for the Lord and their giftedness in His service. They must be pre-qualified by proven spiritual character and ability as well as fruitful labor. In other words, their hearts already settled. Look in verse 3 and 4. He talks about a soldier. Excuse me. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Understand, hardness means suffering. To suffer pain along with someone else. To be involved with them. A good soldier of the Lord serves Jesus with everything he is and everything he has. Not holding anything back. Your body, your health, your skills, your time all belong to Jesus. And then he says, watch verse 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Beware of spiritual distractions. And he gives us some detectors. Those things that entangle us with the affairs of this life. What is the greatest issue with all of us? It's time. And the issue with time is the fact that we've all got the same amount of time, and we want to make sure that we choose wisely with God's help and God's grace, that we are investing in eternal things. So it's availability. Matthew 13:22, he also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Be wary. Be aware of spiritual distractions. Matthew 16:24, then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Those are the men that Timothy needs to invest himself in. Ladies, it's the same thing with you. A good soldier pleases him who chose him. Verse 4, the last part, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So we're supposed to be a teacher. We need to be teachers, and we need to be good soldiers. The picture is discipline. And thirdly, he talks about an athlete now. If a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. What's the difference between first and second place? First and second place. I read this years ago. It's not always talent, the difference. A less gifted athlete often will surpass another who is physically superior and more experienced simply by having greater determination and persistence. MacArthur writes, and he shares this. He said one time he was watching a decathlon meet between the United States, Poland, and the USSR. He had gone to witness this, and MacArthur was quite an athlete in his younger days. And he said he was watching the decathlon, and he was talking to the coach of the American team. And he said, I want you to look out here and tell me who's the best athlete. And he said, well, that guy over there is the best athlete. He said, you think he'll win today because they're doing all those events, the 10. He said, no, he won't win. He said, what do you mean? He said, he's the best athlete. He said, the best athlete doesn't always win. He said, well, who do you think is going to win this thing? He said, that guy standing over there. He said, there was a slim, little slender guy. He said, why do you think? He said, because he's got the heart of a champion. He said, he doesn't give up. He said, he's always trying to better himself. He said, he's the guy that'll win. The next year in the Olympics, Bruce Jenner won the decathlon because he had a heart to win. Nobody gave him a chance. And see, that's what Paul is driving home here with Timothy. See, what is your competition? When it says there, he says that if a man strive also for masteries, he's talking about it's a spiritual striving. What is your greatest competition? It's going to be your fleshly self. That's going to be your greatest competition. Your own, not anybody around you, because we shouldn't compete against one another. We're part of the body of Christ. but it's our fleshly self. And then secondly, our competition is the world and the mindset and the standard. The world is going to say, do it this way, look this way. Here's a better model. This worked over at this place. This worked in this guy's life. You do this. Thirdly, we have Satan that we have to be mindful of, because he's out there like a roaring lion, going about seeking whom he may devour, waiting for you to let that flesh, and he'll prop it up, and he'll encourage you, and he'll stroke you, and he'll make you feel like you're somebody special. Nobody else can do what you can do for God. It's a lie. And lastly, those who work with and for Satan. Paul says in Philippians 3:14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Listen to what he says. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. If we're striving for the masteries, it's not only competition that we have to be aware of, mainly ourselves, but then our character. We have to strive lawfully. That's what he says in verse 5. What does that mean? It means no shortcuts, no cheating. To even be allowed in the Olympian Games, there are three qualifications that had to be met. First of all, you had to be born a true Greek. Secondly, training. You had to prepare 10 months before the Games, and then you had to swear an oath before Zeus that you had trained. And thirdly, you had to compete with specific rules for a given event. To fail in any of these requirements meant automatic disqualification. Well, what about spiritual character? God says you must be born again. But it doesn't stop there. Faithfully study and obey God's word, it leads to self-denial and self-sacrifice. I can always tell when I get away from my personal devotions. All of a sudden I start getting a little selfish with my time. I start getting I get annoyed quicker. I get critical. I get irritable. And I know what's wrong, and I'm not walking in fellowship with the Lord. And fellowship is having my quiet time and staying in God's word, holding my feet to the fire and allowing the Spirit of God to do that. You say, well, you don't do that while you're preaching? No, no, no. Folks, listen, my heart's not right in my private time. Then when it comes to the public, what I do, it's not going to be there. It's not going to be right. And I know it. Years ago, I got through preaching one Sunday morning, and I went out the back door, and I was feeling pretty good about my sermon. That wasn't bad. I'm standing at the door, and this lady comes by, and boy, she could read me like a watch down. And as she came by, and she said, didn't study much this week, did you? Turned around and walked off. How did she know? Because she knows. Living according to Christ's divine standards of discipleship. Let me close with this. Chambers, he says, there are some things that God's going to tell you know that he's not going to tell anybody else know about. There are some things that God's going to say, don't you be involved in that. Don't you go look at this. Don't you do this. Everybody else can do it. Because it's not everybody else. It's about you. And here's the point. Are you just going to go along with the flow of the crowd? Or are you going to allow God to separate you unto himself? Paul says, I fight my own body to keep it under submission. Physically, he said, I beat myself black and blue like a boxer to keep my body, my lusts, my wants, my desires, my flesh. I do that. And I can remember people say, well, I don't have a problem with that, and I don't have a problem with that, and I don't have a problem with that. And I didn't say anything. So what do you think? That's between you and the Lord Jesus. What would the Lord say to you? He said, David, don't even think about it. I'm not going there. I'm not special. I'm not different. I'm not weird. But you see, here's the thing. Is Jesus going to be Lord of your life, or are you just going to follow the crowd? Folks, here's what we've got to understand. When we give our lives to Christ and salvation, and then as we surrender ourselves, as we grow, as we surrender ourselves in an area of service, if God's going to have complete control of our lives, that means our emotions, our intellect, everything about us, all right, is he going to be Lord of all those things? or are we just going to play spiritual buffet? If we're going to be a good soldier, and we're going to be a good teacher, and we're going to be that good athlete so that God can use us anyhow, any way, any place that He chooses, then you know what? We've got to let Him be Lord of everything of our lives. And we've got to be so sensitive that if the Lord says no, He doesn't have to explain it. And when He says no, there's no argument. We only have one response. Yes, Lord. What happened with Adam and Eve in the garden? Satan came along and God said, you can eat of everything in the garden except for that one tree. One tree. What did Satan tempt him with? He didn't say, go eat all the bananas. Say the tree was an apple. You can have all the cherries and the strawberries and bananas, but I don't want that. I want that tree. And so Satan comes along and says, you know why you can't have that? Because God doesn't love you. He doesn't trust you. He didn't think you can handle it. So what did they do? Well, Eve was deceived. She ate. Adam just flat out disobeyed. And what happened then? The fall. You're going to keep falling in your Christian walk until you learn that Jesus is Lord of every area of your life. And you're going to always struggle there. So what do you have? You have to surrender your all unto Him. Is that easy? No, it's an everyday battle. Sometimes it's all-night battle. But you got to make up your mind, if we're going to have the right stuff so that God can pour Himself through us and use us, folks, listen, we've got to surrender all. We've got to surrender all. We've got to surrender all. It's not the one who's got the talent. I remember in Bible college, there was a guy named Philip. Man, this joker, I'm telling you, he was Dr. Adrian Rogers Jr. No, I'm serious. Incredible articulation. His Bible knowledge was just, I mean, it just, I'd just sit there and we'd have our dorm devotions and I'd just watch him. And I mean, it was great. He pastored a church. And most of the guys, when I first got to Bible college, nobody had a church, but he had it. He was pastoring a church up in Alabama. And I mean, and he was just, I mean, I thought, man, this guy, I mean, one day, you know, Lord, somebody's got to take Dr. Rogers' place, and this is the guy. I mean, he can do it. He's brilliant. He's smart. He's tall. He's got hair. He's handsome. I mean, he's got everything. Our senior year, the week of finals before Christmas, I was up studying about 1 o'clock at night. And I heard something out in the hallway and opened up my door. And he was taking all of his stuff down the hallway. I said, where are you going? He said, I'm going home. I'm going home. He went home, became an EMT, got out of the ministry. I thought, good night. I couldn't believe it. But it's like David, when he was chosen to be king, God doesn't look on the outside. He does what? He looks right at the heart. And tonight, Almighty God is looking at all of our hearts and He's asking the question, do you have the right stuff? Are you pliable? Are you teachable? Are you a good soldier? Soldiers just do what they're told to do. That's a good soldier. Are you that good athlete? Are you willing to do whatever it takes for the Master? Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name we come tonight. And God, this is Your word. And Lord, what makes it so hard and even difficult is because we're not where we're supposed to be. And we know that because the Spirit of God has been dealing with that, dealing us with that, maybe for minutes, hours, months, years. And we know. And we know what it has has cost us eternally and those around us. The key is dying to self. The key is reporting for duty. The key is being available to You and for Your work. Holy Spirit of God, take Your truth now. Work it in our hearts and out of our lives.